Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio. So we gather here once a month, and we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of spirituality, consciousness, and the afterlife. My name's Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I'm excited to welcome Eliza Ray to the show. Like all our other guests, Eliza is the real deal, folks. She's a certified medium with Forever Family Foundation, and she's a research medium with the Winbridge Institute, where she takes part in scientific research. Eliza has experienced intuitive abilities since a very young child and was able to visualize and hear messages for and from her family. Unfortunately, a tragic accident occurred when she was 18 years old involving the deaths of her brother and father, which motivated Eliza to further develop her connection with those on the other side. So in addition to her private practice of psychic mediumship in Arizona, Eliza also developed a program that includes workshops for parents who have intuitive children. So she can be reached on her website at www.elizaray.com. And if you didn't get that, we'll try to plug that again at the end of the show. So ladies and gentlemen, tonight, as for the past couple of shows, our show is commercial free, so no interruptions. So as I always say, sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet or loved one, have a drink on me, and let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But a couple of ground rules before we introduce Eliza, and a couple of special announcements. Let's start with the announcements first. Founder Bob Ginsberg's new book is available on Amazon. It's called The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the World of Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. It's a guide for those who either have had a medium reading or plan to have one, or they're just curious about what happens after we die. All profits from the sale of this book are donated to the Forever Family Foundation. And just, again, a reminder, folks, that the Netflix series Surviving Death is still streaming. Bob, Fran, and the Forever Foundation are actually featured in Episode 4. So, dear listeners, tonight's show, as always, when I'm hosting, it's for research and informational purposes. And your questions are obviously and incredibly welcome, but please keep in mind that Eliza is not going to be performing any readings tonight. So, for the past, I guess, 6 months or so, we've been bringing up questions that you, our valued Forever Family Foundation members and Signs of Life radio listeners, have been coming up with. And it's been pretty successful. So if it ain't broke, why fix it? And of course, as always, if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. All right. So, hey, Eliza, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So I guess you're kind of sheltering from the heat in Arizona at this time of year?
Well, pretty much, yeah. The days are getting warmer, and next week we're going up to 110. So
oh
I'm going to really shelter then, yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah. That is crazy hot. But it's a dry heat, isn't it? So, imagine if it was humid, that would be even worse.
Yeah, I think I would melt, I'm sure. So I don't want to do that.
So up here in the Northeast, we don't get up to 110. Well, we'll hit the 90s and... but we do get the humidity, so it's kind of a trade-off, and it gets pretty hot with the humidity. Anyhow, so welcome to the show, and we'll start off the hour by just with some of our listeners' questions, if you don't mind.
That would be great.
Okay, so hey, listen, from your perspective, they want this person writes in that And I'll just read it. My daughter's death was ruled an accidental death. Is there such a thing?
Okay. How to answer that? Well, it depends who ruled it. I would think if it was like a car accident, or if it was something involving maybe taking too much medication that she shouldn't have taken or something of that nature, I think a medical examiner would most likely say it is an accidental death. Now, right. When you're thinking of it on the more spiritual level, I'm under the impression from doing readings for so many years that it's their time. It's their time. So it's really not an accident that they passed when they were 16 or 14 or even 5. You know, it's just this was their time period to be here. And I'm convinced of that from doing readings for over 30 years.
Right, and probably if it didn't happen from one accident, there would be another exit point soon after, is what I've been told. Do you agree with that? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think I think so, but I'm not definitely sure. I've been told when I've been in meditation or prayer and dream that basically you have two or three chances. But then I've been told other times, this is my time, I'm done here, goodbye.
Right. Interesting.
Everybody has a different journey,
How long have you been practicing mediumship, just out of curiosity?
Let's see. I think professionally, meaning, you know, people will come to me like strangers and people I've never met or on the phone or in person. Probably 60, I'm 61, so since I was 28, 29, you do the math.
Wow, okay,
But
over 30 years.
When I was a little girl, I feel like I was able to see, hear, feel things just walking into a strange house and picking up on things from other family members or from friends, or being in a house of a friend that I've never been in and seeing things or hearing things. So pretty much mediumship has been, it's like who I am. You know?
Right. It's been part of you ever since you can remember, probably.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, another question is that we've been told that the afterlife contains our pets. So we know that the afterlife can contain creatures other than human beings. The person's question is, was the afterlife there for precursors or offshoots to Homo sapiens, such as Homo erectuses, I probably said that wrong, and Neanderthals?
You know, it's pretty funny. That's a great question.
I
have never really seen that in my readings, but I think it's because the people that I'm dealing with don't have relatives that they want to connect with that are from that era. You know?
Right.
But I have never seen that, honestly. I know I've seen pets, a lot of pets, and they give me messages. They're not really chatting with me, but they give me, like, a message through their just looking or a thought that they would have. Like, if you would look at your cat and you're like, oh, the cat's hungry. Well, how do you know it's hungry? Well, he's acting hungry. You know, it's that kind of thing. But I see a lot of loved ones with their animals on the other side.
Right. Oh, very interesting. So here's another question. The question is, it is estimated that there are 2 trillion galaxies in the universe, each containing on average 100 billion stars. Prior to the formation of the Earth 4.3 billion years ago, was there an afterlife? And is our afterlife the same as the afterlife for any other sentient creatures in the universe?
These are fantastic questions. Things
they
I've
are.
Never
they...
really thought of. Yeah. You know, I'm sort of a astronomy geek where, you know, my whole life, I love looking at the stars. I like, oh, what's going on now in the stars? Or like, you know, the eclipse today. I had a dream last night of the eclipse, and I'm not even in the zone, you know, where I could see the solar eclipse.
Right.
So I'm very into it. But I don't know the answer to that. I would hope so. Let's put it that way.
Right.
That,
well,
you know, trillions and millions, we would still have the ability to go from one dimension to the next. But I don't know if we've gone backwards with our abilities or if we're continuing to evolve and go forward.
Right, yeah. I mean, if you look at, you know, some of the things that are happening, that is a very valid point. Are we going backwards, or regressing, or going forwards? You know, so sometimes I'm almost ashamed to be a human being, you know, with some of the stuff that goes on. But I mean, a lot of I think there was a time when, you know, we thought that everything centered around the Earth, you know, before Galileo proved that's not true. And I think that, you know, that one, I think it's very egotistical to think that way. Just, you know, from the sheer numbers, there's got to be life out there somewhere. It's just, you know, we're not advanced enough to have found it. You know, so, yeah, I mean, life is life, you know, consciousness is something that, you know, I think transcends anything physical. So,
right.
I mean, if I were to answer that question, I would say, yeah, definitely, you know, but I'm not a medium. Mm-hmm. I'm just basing my thing on, you know, logic and odds, you know, just astronomical odds that there is something out there and there is other consciousnesses, and those consciousnesses have lived and died and continued on. So that's
right.
What I prescribe to. But it's hard to prove. It's very hard to prove with the tools at our disposal. But it's definitely things that make you go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good thought, good brain activity, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that if you look back at some of the artwork that was found from the Egyptians and from the American Indians and the, you know, petroglyphs and all those kind of things, there are beings that don't look really human, so were they more advanced? Were they more acceptable of these kind of things? Have we shut it down over the years? It's really hard to say because we don't have a lot of good record keeping from that time period, but it very well could be that it was an acceptable thing.
Absolutely.
I want to believe that, you know. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I have seen, like, in some of my readings, I have seen some, I guess you could call them ETs or different
extraterrestrials
types
of
beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Depending on the person, like, for instance, people that are really into science and engineering, I see, like, these, usually they show up as two or four really tall, kind of, they look like the Tin Man, but very tall, but and not very friendly, but just kind of flat. And I've seen that in my readings, too. So what am I seeing? And it just tells me when I see them, oh, this person's into engineering or science. It's like, oh, yeah, I do study science. I'm like, oh, well, I saw this around you. So they're guiding you and helping you. So,
very interesting.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah, I really don't know where they come from, but I've seen it consistently over the years.
Wow. So I got another person that wrote the following. It says, hello, I'd love for Eliza to touch on reincarnation if possible.
Funny.
She's emailed, this
I'm,
person is
I'm
emailed
laughing.
About her. Go ahead. You're laughing?
Yeah, because okay. I'm laughing because right before the phone call, I was thinking, you know, what kind of questions will they ask me? I'm like, they're going to ask me about reincarnation.
Of course, of course. Let me just continue the question here. This person goes on to say she's emailed a few times about her daughter, Haley, who is stillborn. She says that one Reiki master said that when the babies die that young, they're reincarnated to the next baby born in the family. Would just love to know that their thoughts, you know, your thoughts and beliefs on that. Maybe also a little more on how they believe, you know, on how you believe reincarnation works. So what are your thoughts on reincarnation?
My thoughts are, I don't know. My gut feeling is it happens because there are children that have proven through studies that, you know, for instance, I saw something on a show, the Netflix show.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about. And
the boy from Iwo Jima?
Yes.
The boy who,
yes,
absolutely.
Right.
That is a very, very highly publicized incident of a World War II person that went down in Iwo Jima, and then as a 6-year-old child was able to recall every part, every mechanical part of the airplane. Mm-hmm. Everybody in his platoon names everything, and it proved 100% accurate. He was even able to converse with his sister, like meet up with his sister, and they mm-hmm. spoke about their mom and everything. And it was just, you know, it was very, very fascinating, you know. I mean, stuff like that is very fascinating. I'm kind of an open-minded skeptic when it comes to that because, you know, I didn't experience it myself. This is all, even though it's on a program, it's still, what's that term? When something is played for you where you don't actually experience it, it's all, it escapes me, you know.
Hearsay or something like that.
Yeah, not exactly hearsay, mm-hmm. but it's not firsthand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For me, firsthand knowledge is the best knowledge because then you know because you've experienced it, you know. This is all anecdotal. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
So who knows what kind of spins were put onto that show or, you know, how things might have been enhanced. You weren't there for all of that, but it is definitely a fascinating story, and there's a lot of other people that have studied reincarnation, and there's books on it. The name of there's one prolific author who was really big into it. I forget his name, you know, you don't have to look too far. Just Google, you know, reincarnation studies, and you'll find tons and tons of books about it. And it was even in the Bible at one point, the Book of Daniel, which they took away from the Bible. Dealt with reincarnation and showed that reincarnation actually occurred, but in an effort to control the masses, we're guessing that, and who am I to say, but this is just my opinion. It was taken away because we just, you know, I think the church at the time wanted to, you know, convey the message that, hey, this is your one shot, you know, and that was it. But maybe it was for that, maybe for other reasons, who knows. Again, that's anecdotal evidence as well, so. So,
interesting.
Yeah, reincarnation is, I would love to for that to be true and, you know, have, you know, many chances, you know, to learn more. I think we're put on this earth to learn and learn things the hard way, right? Because in spirit, I'm told that everything, you know, you want something material, you want something, you have it. I mean, it's everything's there. It's non-physical. Whereas here we have, our body goes into atrophy and decays, and we have sicknesses, and we're physically limited to what we can do, and it's kind of like a quick path to learning a lot of hard lessons, I think, you know, for our spiritual development. That's why we're brave souls to have incarnated in the first place.
I agree.
Yeah,
I know that.
Agreed?
About 20 years ago, I met a woman, and she said that she does past life regressions. And being the very curious person that I am, I went to her, and she spent almost 3 hours with me. I thought, well, I'll just go in for an hour and see what she has to say. I'm curious. And she said, well, you've had 65 lifetimes. I looked at her like, what? What? And she said, in this lifetime, you didn't want to come back. They kept asking you over and over again to come back on the other side. And you kept saying, no, I don't want to go here. This is a crazy place. But you had to come back one more time. So supposedly this is my last lifetime, my last hurrah, but who knows, right?
So you're what we would call an old soul.
Yes, supposedly. But she said everything resonated that she said. And it was interesting because a lot of my roles that she said were all very spiritually oriented, healing person. I was also supposedly a priest. I was a monk. I was a guru in India, you know, all these different religious things. And here I am doing readings for people.
Wow.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think maybe your mediumship skills come with the, you know, with the souls, the many lifetimes and the experience that your soul has gathered over the many incarnations. You know, that could be why you're so spiritually advanced and able to tap into energies that most of us can't, which is a great thing.
Could be.
Absolutely.
But
yeah,
I think the other interesting thing is that sometimes you meet people And I know as an adult, we all can relate to this. You go, I feel like I know them. You know, I feel like I've met them before, but you've never met them. And I have a gut feeling that most likely, if a person believes in reincarnation, like I said, I'm not quite sure I believe in it, but I lean in that direction. You've been with that person in another lifetime somehow.
That happened to me. That happened to me just last week. I was going into a like a convenience store to buy some ice. It was my daughter's first communion last weekend, and I needed ice for the coolers that we were setting out outside, you know, for the after party and all that. And I saw this guy standing at the cash register. He was a customer, so he was on my side of the register. And I said, man, I've met you before. Where the heck did I meet you before? And the guy said the same thing to me. And we're just like dumbfounded. It was incredible. So, I know exactly.
So are you still friends? Are you going to connect still? And you know,
well,
there must be a reason, right?
There must be a reason. But, I mean, we were cordial to each other and everything. But I was kind of in a rush because I had a lot of errands to do. And, you know, unfortunately, life got in the way, you know. And so we just, you know, he held the door open for me as I'm hauling out the bags of ice, and thank you, have a great day, you know, maybe we'll meet up again at some point, whatever. So, I mean, he's local, so maybe we'll bump into each other again, so kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is great. I think we both have the same, you know, kind of views on reincarnation, and I'm glad that I'm with somebody that is more of an expert than me on the subject, because you can actually, you know, you've spoken to people about that and you've witnessed that firsthand. So great.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes care of the reincarnation question, and we'll go into another one. Oh, this is from the same person as before, who says that she lost her daughter Haley in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
She's always felt her spirit with her, sending her signs. She says, I've been pregnant twice since losing her. Currently pregnant now. She's sending us two little brothers. But when I'm pregnant, I don't feel as connected to her. Maybe I just don't feel her presence as much. Wondering if you guys have ever heard of anything like that before. Where, does pregnancy affect, you know, that, the connection?
Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't had an issue when I'm doing a reading for a pregnant woman regarding picking up on, let's say, a child that had passed or a mother that had passed or something. It's never been an issue. Now, I have had them tell me, I just don't, you know, let's say a woman's pregnant and she wants to connect with her mother. And she said, I just don't feel my mom anymore. And I really wish she was here, that kind of thing. And I'm like, she's there. She's there, trust me. It's just that you're more focused on your pregnancy. You're more focused on all these hormonal changes and all kinds of things. So, and I'm not quite sure they want us to always be focused on them that had passed. I believe they're still around us because they love us and they're near us. But
right.
I think when they want to tell us something, they find a way. If it's through a medium, if it's through a sign, if it's through a gut feeling, a dream, you know, or just giving us some reassurance, because, you know, it'll go months sometimes. And you don't know. It's like, are you still there? Come on, let me know. You know, you will get a sign. But I always tell my clients, it may not be tomorrow. It may not be today. It may not be a month from now. But just be patient and know that there's something that they're going to connect with you. And you're going to be like, okay, I know you're here. I know you're. Thank you.
I've had, I have a son that passed away when he was 5. And that's what got me into this whole spiritual thing. It was very, very hard on me. But I noticed that, you know, after his crossing, I got a lot of signs when it was still, you know, fresh and new. And I'm not getting very many these days, if at all. You know, they're very far and few in between. He sent me some very, very strong signs. I mean, undeniable. He appeared posthumously in a picture, which just freaked me out, and it was a really, really good sign. Yeah, absolutely. And I visited some mediums that are just really amazing that have pulled his name out of thin air. And these are people that, you know, I didn't want to have any what ifs, so I gave fake names. I called from a conference room, you know, so, and I said I would pay them in cash. So no credit card information, no nothing. And, you know, there's this one medium that just like blew my mind. That was so good. You know, she pulled his name right out of right out of the air, and said he was there. So that's what converted me into really, you know, believing it. Just because there's no way this person could have known anything. I was extremely careful, and yeah, it's. But like I'm saying, the signs, now that time has passed, is there any validity to what I'm experiencing? In your opinion,
yeah.
You think, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think, guess like I mentioned, mm-hmm. you need to live your life, but they're there. And
right.
I always tell my clients, and I also do it personally because I've had a lot of my family and friends pass on the other side
right.
when they were young. And, you know, and I just say, all right, I need to know you're here. It's really important for me, so give me a sign. And I always say, just ask them right before you go to sleep. You might have a dream about them, or you might see someone that looks like them, or you might hear a song on the radio that reminds them, or something. But you will get your sign, but you need to ask for it.
Right.
They want
you
to live your life.
Yeah, and you got to also believe that, hey, that's a sign. You know,
right.
A lot of the times people are, nah, that's just a coincidence, or nah, it can't be, you know, and if you start doubting your own abilities to pick up on these things, you're never going to pick up on these things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
I think
but
everybody
my dad's been gone. Everybody has something. But my dad's been gone since 77, and he went to Notre Dame. And it's consistent sign, Notre Dame, you know, in Indiana. And and I know, I'll ask him, I'm like, I need to know that you approve of this, or just tell me you're still around. And random things. Like I'll be standing in line at a store and someone will have a T-shirt with, you know, Notre Dame on it here in Arizona. I'm like, okay, thanks, Dad. You know, just
right,
very
right,
random
right.
things.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And,
I mean,
yeah.
I believe
it's,
you. You have to
consistent.
Be able to keep your mind open enough to you know, and have confidence in your ability to pick up on these things for them to, you know, to really get through.
And I also believe that if you look too hard, you're going to get frustrated. So I just sort of let it go. And I'm like, all right, give me a sign. And it's always Notre Dame. I'm like, and I always think, to myself, are you kidding me? I cannot believe that you heard me, you know. And I know my dad is sort of smiling on the other side as I'm talking right now, you know. So yeah, it's a consistent sign. But since 1977, to have that consistent sign, you know, it's got to be. So you will get your consistent sign.
Right. Well, I will look out for it, especially, you know, the one from my son. I've had other families, but that was really close to home for me, so that's the one that I want the most.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I didn't host the radio show last month because I almost crossed over myself. I was in really bad shape. Yeah, I was hooked up to a ventilator.
St.
Peter's Hospital. Yeah, it wasn't COVID related. People think, was it COVID related? No. I had a really severe pancreatitis. It was caused by, you know, gallstones, which blocked, you know, something, and then the pancreas started overreacting and eating my other organs and sending me into septic shock. Normally, when people get pancreatitis, you know, it's a 3-4 day hospital stay. I ended up staying for over 2 weeks. And it was just, you know, I'm actually getting surgery to get my gallbladder removed on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness.
Because the doctors told me, you get this again, and there's a 20% chance of that reoccurring, you're not going to survive the next one, because I just came so close this time, you know. But, the whole time that I was there, I mean, I was in a lot of pain, but I didn't feel like I was mortally in danger, which is really weird, even though, like, I was. It was just the weirdest thing, and when I, you know, they put you in a coma when they put you on the ventilator, and
right.
I just, you know, don't remember a thing from it. I was hoping maybe I'd have a out-of-body experience or something like that, and, you know, an NDE where I see myself floating above or whatever, but I think your heart actually has to stop for that to happen which mine never did.
Yeah.
Maybe it was failing and all that. But, well, anyways, long story short, I'm glad to be on this side of the dirt, and I'm very, I'm almost completely recovered from it. I still have a little bit of fentanyl in my system, which is why I didn't do the show. I was, like, really groggy last, a month ago. So I'm glad to be back and glad to be recovering. And, you know, now I just got to go through that other surgery, which is just laparoscopic, and it's very commonplace. So I'm not too worried about it. So
I'm glad you're back, and I'm sure your family just feels blessed to have you.
Oh yeah, I just remember, like, you know, I knew how serious it was the minute I saw, like, the first thing I saw when I woke up out of my coma was my wife's face, and just the relief and the love on her face was just mind blowing. And that
I bet.
I go, what did I do? I just shut my eyes for 1 second. What did I do? You know, and then it was gradually revealed to me, like, how close I came to, like, really super close to dying. And so I'm glad to be back. And again, you know, I'm almost fully recovered. And, you know, there's a couple of precautions that I got to take, just like, you know, going for this operation. So this never happens to me again. And, you know, just a little bit of lifestyle changes too, you know, because I was a real type A personality and taking on a lot of things and a lot of responsibilities. So I've had to ease up on that a little bit and, you know, be a little bit more kind to myself, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I'm glad you're doing better. That's great.
Thank you, Eliza. I really appreciate that. Let's go to another question from a listener that emailed it in. It's... question is, during a reading, have you ever seen or sensed something more on a psychic level regarding the sitter that is so tragic or disturbing that you must censor yourself? If yes, then are you able to gently warn them without being too alarming?
Yes. The answer to that. Well, you know, I pray and do meditation prior to every single reading I do, and I ask for positive, helpful things to be received, because I don't believe that it's coming from me. I totally think that I'm just the conduit. I'm the radio.
Yep,
so,
you're a messenger.
Right, that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And then, so when I do hear something, for instance, there was someone that needed to have a surgery and should have it soon and not wait, you know, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, I find very gentle ways of saying, you better check it out. Or I see people that are getting ready to pass. And I don't like scaring my clients and saying, oh, by the way, your mom's going to die soon. You know, I just don't think that's very polite, I guess. I mean, people are sensitive anyway when they have these readings and, you know, lots of tears often. So, the thing that I usually say for anyone that has a reading with me in the future, I'll say, you know, it might be a good idea to spend some extra time with that person. And that's sort of my sign, like, they don't have much longer here, you know. So if you want to be with them physically, you know. So I'll say something like that. And then let's say a mom or a dad on the other side will say, oh, your son is driving like a crazy person. He's, you know, he could have an accident. And I'll just say, you know, your dad is saying, give him a warning to slow down, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm very careful of my wording, just because I don't want to put people walking on edge in their life. I want people to enjoy their life. And when you hear news like that from somebody, you're like, oh my gosh, when's it going to happen? Today, tomorrow, next day, you know?
Right.
And so you're not comfortable with your life, because you're always looking for it, the negative.
Right. I mean, that is a very sensitive topic, you know, and you as a medium have to draw the line, really, when, you know, what to reveal and what not to reveal and how to reveal it. So that's a fine line that you can walk sometimes. And
Go ahead.
Well, I've asked this question of other mediums. It's come up in past shows, and a lot of them have said, you know, no, I only deal in positive information. You know, they say their prayers, you know, before a reading and or meditation or whatever that they do, and you know, just let positive signs come through, and you know, so a lot of them just, you know, stay on the positive side as much as possible and not let any negative things come through. So some people do that. I'm glad that you're one of the ones that will try to actually, you know, warn you know, your sitters, mm-hmm. that, you know, there's a potential for this, but you know, doing it in a very, very gentle way. I think, you know, I agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that with my friends and family, though, it's pretty blatant. And since I was a kid, I would say, "Grandpa's going to die." I mean, I'm that kind of a person. I don't have a filter with the family as much as I do with my clients. So
right.
I remember I was 11 or 12 years old, and Grandpa was just going in for just a simple day surgery, just to patch up something in his stomach. And I was a mess. And they're going, "He'll be fine. He'll be home tonight." And I'm like, "No, he's going to die." I was crying my eyes out. And he died like 5 days later.
Oh, boy.
You know, I could
see
it.
How do you hear it? Do you get your messages clairaudiently, clairsentently? You know, do you see things? How do you? Well, actually, you said that you see things, because you were explaining those tall tin men or whatever earlier in the conversation. But
yeah,
do you also hear stuff? Like, is it a voice that comes to you sometimes? Now, is it a neutral voice? Okay,
no.
And would it be the voice as you think that they sounded when they were alive, like the voice from the actual deceased person? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I can tell the difference between a female and a male, and I can also mm-hmm. feel their energy. I can hear a child's voice. Now, I do have like one particular voice that gives me personal information that I've been hearing since I was, five, 4 years old. It's the same voice. I have
like
no idea
guide?
Who this person is. Yeah, I
Probably
guess you could call
guide.
It that.
Yeah,
or my
yeah,
guardian
absolutely.
Angel, or whatever you want to call it. You know, same voice,
yeah.
I recognize it. So,
really
anyway, but I hear it, I see it, I feel it. Like, if someone from the other side is wanting to communicate to their loved one that I'm doing the reading with how they passed and how they were feeling right before they passed, I'll actually get nauseous if the person is nauseous. I'll actually get a headache. I'll actually feel pain in my face. So I guess I could, I get all of it. And it's a bombardment of my senses.
Now, you don't go into trance when you give readings, do you?
No.
Okay. Some physical mediums and, you know, the voice mediums, some of them do, or, you know, from what mm-hmm. I've read. But yeah, that kind of leads us to another question that we received from, pardon me, my throat is so dry. I mean, it's allergy season over here, and there's a ton of pollen, tree pollen in the air. And I'm just going to grab a quick sip of water.
Okay.
Hopefully that'll stop the coughing. So what are your thoughts on certain smells appearing out of nowhere, like smelling like our loved ones, but at times it might not be directly, even when you're not directly thinking about them at the moment. Also, waking up in the middle of the night, this person writes that always at around 3 o'clock, feeling as if this person is next to her. And why are some days much harder than others as far as grieving goes?
Three questions.
Yeah, three questions.
So,
sorry.
That's okay. Regarding the smells or olfactory reminders,
mm-hmm.
I know they do happen. I have personally experienced it myself.
Okay.
And a most recent one was I was in someone's house, and I kept smelling cigar smoke. And this person does not smoke, hates cigarettes, hates cigars, you know.
Right.
And I just said, you know, was someone in here yesterday walking around like your, you know, handyman with a cigar or something? He said, no. And I said, well, I'm smelling a cigar. So I'm seeing an older man with a hat, and he's showing me cigars in your house. And I said, I have a feeling this is a grandfather. And the gentleman said, yeah, my grandfather used to smoke cigars.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that's an example, but they come out of the blue. I'm not sitting there doing a reading. And then sometimes when I've done some readings, the one that stands out right now as we're speaking is this one lady, for some reason, said, you know, I'm not sure it's my dad. I'm like, well, all I'm telling you is I'm smelling steak. So this guy is like into barbecuing steak, and she starts cracking up. She goes, oh, yeah, that was his thing. That's the only thing he cooked was steak. And I'm like, well, I'm smelling it, and I'm nowhere near a barbecue. You know? So that's what happens during readings. But I think it can happen if you're sensitive enough, like certain colognes, just certain things. Rose smell comes in. People have told me that. I've experienced it myself too. So, yeah. The second question
was about waking up in the middle of the night.
3 a.m.
Yeah.
Happens a lot. I truly believe that the electricity is calmer. The world is calmer at night. And I think they can get through to us where we can feel them and experience them, because the vibration on the other side is a very similar vibration as electricity. It's a little higher than that, but, and that's why people say, oh, I've seen lights flashing, or they, you know, like different things have happened electrically. So I just think that the world is calmer and you are calmer. And, you know, that's when you're able to connect with the people that have passed.
Me too.
The last question. Oh, me too. It's like, okay,
I always wake up.
Who's there?
Yeah. Well, I wake up at 3 every night because I have to go pee. Because I have a bladder the size of a walnut.
Yeah.
You know, when you get older, that's what happens, you know?
But, yeah, I know. It does.
I was very happy a couple of nights ago. I slept through the whole night. It was brilliant. It was amazing. It was so nice, yeah.
It's a great feeling.
And then
the last question has to do with grieving.
Yeah, why some days are harder than others?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not quite sure the answer to that, but I do know it's a fact. I know that holidays, I know that if you're feeling down or lonely and you miss somebody, or a certain song on the radio reminds you of them, or you'll meet somebody that knew them, you know, and, you know, it's just, it all depends on what's happening in your life here. You know, if you're having an emotional day or a stressful day or a happy day where it's like a wedding, you know, and you just wish that person was here. And it, you know, so I just think it's involving a lot of different issues.
Yeah, I mean, anniversaries too, especially, you know, October 27th is a very bad day for me. Same with October 31st, which is Halloween, which I used to love because my son was buried on Halloween. So now it's a different outlook for me, you know, completely, you know, it changes.
I bet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I hear in my readings, I hear a lot of the people on the other side that have had either really horrible illnesses or tragic accidents or things like that. And the person I'm doing the reading with will say, you know, that can I have a reading on this particular day? And I'll say, is this the day they passed? And the person will come, you know, in from the other side in the reading and say, celebrate my birthday. Celebrate when I graduated from college. Just, can we not celebrate when I crossed over? Because it makes you sad. And they don't want us to be sad. They want us to be happy.
Right. Yeah, I get that a lot. I think every medium that I've spoken to has said that. And I totally believe that they want us to be happy. I mean, we'll be with them soon enough, you know, in blink of an eye.
Yeah.
This lifetime here is a blink of an eye. You know, but it's, you know, while we're here, man, it feels like a long time.
I know. But then when you look back, like, you know, think back when you were 20, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, well, that wasn't too long ago. I mean, wow. Boom.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. It's true. Looking backwards is always quick. Looking forwards it tends to be a little bit longer, you know, because there's...
Especially this last year, this 2020 was like dragging through the mud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, things are starting to open up now, thankfully. You know, We're going on our first real vacation this year. I'm heading out. I'll be in your neck of the woods, actually, because I'm heading out to California with my family, and we're renting a van, and we're going to be going all over the West Coast, you know, and going through Arizona and through, Salt Lake City, Arizona, and, you know, just that whole kind of West Coast kind of thing. We're taking a couple of weeks to do that, so it should be a lot of fun.
Mm. Sounds great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, I'm glad things are opening up and things are getting back to normal. I just, you know, I hope that I hope they truly do get back to normal. You know, it's hard to fathom that these days because of everything that we've been through, you know.
I don't know if we're ever going to get back to the way it was. I think we're always going to have an element of paranoia and precaution, but I think people miss people. I think the interaction is going to be like so appreciated now. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be sitting here with you. You know, that kind of thing, rather than just looking at your face on a screen.
Right.
So,
I
think the appreciation factor has just gone through the roof.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
we took so much for granted before. And now it's like, we need people. We need love. We need to touch somebody. It's so important.
And, you know, both me and my wife, we work from home because of the pandemic. But we both, you know, we had office jobs working downtown. And, you know, when we got home, we had stories to tell. Now it's like we see each other 24/7. So there's, you know, it's just, I'm kind of, it's nice and convenient to be able to roll out of bed and, you know, not even put pants on if you don't want to, and just, you know, sit in front of a computer screen, and there you go, you know. It saves a lot of time, you know, the commute and all that, and I tell everybody I get 3 weeks to the gallon, you know, which is kind of cool. but having those stories to tell, hey, dear, how was your day, and this and that, you know, well, we know exactly how our days were because we're with each other 24/7, you know, so
yeah.
I kind of miss that element of, you know, going into work and all of that, so I'm looking forward for that to kind of come back, even though it'll take some getting used to, the, you know, doing the commute again and waking up earlier and this and that, and, you know, so I think a lot of people are experiencing that.
For sure.
So what do you enjoy most about having your abilities? And I'm going to flip that after with what do you like least about having your abilities?
I thought that would be the next question. I know that when I had my first medium reading when I was in my 20s, I was a bit skeptical also. Even though I've experienced it myself, I wasn't sure this woman that I went to was going to give me any information that was going to be helpful. Because my brother and father passed tragically, and we didn't know they were dead or alive for almost a year. And so it affected my life, and there were still, to this day, questions of how they passed. I had no idea. We knew they drowned.
That.
Yeah, but we don't know how they drowned. We don't know why they drowned. You know, they were both swimmers, scuba divers. So they were duck hunting in Michigan. So I went to this medium, and prior to that, I had a lot of psychological help, went on medications, hypnosis, lots of different things to try to help me with this extreme tragedy and grief that I was experiencing.
Yep.
So I think it was maybe 8 years later, this medium gave me so much, I guess you could say, validation as well as reassurance that my brother and father are so much at peace and so happy. Where before I was like, are they lost? Are they floating around in purgatory? Or where are they? You know, did they really die? You know, there were all kinds of questions. And it really validated things. And I felt such a sense of peace and just settlement, where for years I was like, well, you know, I'm kind of that angry. I can't believe that they were taken away from me. But she gave me that. So after that, I decided a few years later with the recommendation of her, because she said, you're going to be doing this professionally. I'm like, no. I'm an occupational therapist. I'm a musician. No, I'm not going to be
Me
doing
too, I'm a musician.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Oh, yeah? What instrument?
I play guitar.
Oh, cool.
I play,
so,
yeah, I've been
anyway,
playing guitar for many years.
That's a great outlet. So I wanted people to have that same experience because I know that with tragedy, with missing persons, with unexpected death, as well as any death of your loved one, grief is very difficult emotion to deal with. And we aren't taught in this country how to deal with it in a very positive, effective way, except for, well, they're gone, you know, move on. It's time to move on. And I don't have that understanding. I have the understanding that they're still going to be with us. So I get a lot of gratification knowing that I'm helping people get that feeling, which is my goal, that they can have that connection.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we were new to this whole thing when me and my wife lost our son, and we went to, you know, we went to our doctor recommended some kind of therapist that, you know, went by the book and said, well, first you're going to experience this denial, this, and then you're going to be doing this and this, and it sounded so clinical and so impersonal that we walked out. We walked out of that sitting with this so-called professional, and never came back, and we didn't get any sense of closure or anything like that. So then we tried. There's a foundation of grieving parents that have lost kids, and we tried to join one of those things, and that didn't help us either, because all we heard were sad stories about people losing their children. That didn't bring us up at all, Then I actually had to go for therapy because psychological therapy, and my psychologist actually introduced me to the Forever Family Foundation. That was Mohana, and she's amazing. And and Bob and I and Fran, we hit it off. God rest Fran's soul. She's in a better place now. And but anyways, we hit it off really well, and over the years. And then Bob asked me to do this show, and I totally jumped at the opportunity. I love talking to you guys, so that's why I'm still here.
Great.
Absolutely. That's so what great. Do you like the least about having your psychic abilities?
I have to turn it off and on, and sometimes when I work so hard to turn it off, it still comes to me. Like, I'll get a vision, or I'll get a tap on the shoulder if I'm in an older home, let's say. Or I'll hear a scream in the middle of the night. It's like, did you hear that? No, didn't hear it. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah. It's hard sometimes to block it.
But
I've done a good job blocking it. When I was a kid, I couldn't block it at all. It was not a fun way of growing up. But I think that's the hardest part, is just feeling like, it's around me all the time. And people will come up to me that know me well, like, who's around me now? I'm like, I'm not doing a reading for you. I am not, And then they'll say, oh, please. I'm like, all right, one, just one. And then I want to talk about the weather or their kids. Or, isn't this margarita wonderful? I just don't want to go there. I think the other negative thing is that it's very draining. I do have an autoimmune issue, as well as I need to sleep more. I need to eat really good foods, that kind of thing. So I can't do a lot of readings during the week.
I can't be
like a serial reader and do like 10 a week. I'd get sick. So that's the negative side. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can see how that would drain you, because it takes a lot of energy out of you to do a reading. Mm-hmm. You're tapping into something that is, sublime. And, it's just, I can't even explain it, so I don't even bother. But, it's definitely something that, if you can turn it off now and you know how to turn it off and keep it under control, that is probably the most important thing, You know, especially mm-hmm. you don't want these spirits around you when you're taking a shower, mm-hmm. you know. So
no,
I'm sure you're able to
there.
Turn it off. Really? Oh, that's
it's nice. Not so much a turning it off. It's just sort of like if you go to a party and somebody comes up to you that you don't want to talk to that moment because you're busy or preoccupied or
right.
I don't want to talk to them. You politely can say, you know, well, I got to go or, you know, I can't talk right now. And it's just sort of like putting your boundaries up, your energetic boundaries up. Like, I don't want to talk to you now. I don't want to see you now. But you see them. Like, I see every night, I see something at my doorway every single night. And I'm
wow.
just like, nope, stay out there. I'm going to sleep. You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, that would freak me out if I saw, like, something out my doorway of my bedroom every night.
It's
you know?
Scary. It is scary yeah. sometimes.
Oh, I could imagine. I could imagine. Wow, the life of a medium. Well, you know, this is, it's you know, our hour has dwindled down to the last few minutes, and it's. Mm-hmm. I told you it would go quickly.
It has. Thank
it
you.
Has.
It was a great experience. It was wonderful
Thank you.
Speaking with you.
Oh, it was so nice to talk to you too. And you know, before we leave, I'm just going to give another little plug of your mm-hmm. where people can get a hold of you. So, folks, mm-hmm. it is ElizaRey.com. That is her website. That is Eliza's website. And I'm sure you can, you know, book a session or ask questions and, you know, find out a lot more things through that website. So, Eliza, thank mm-hmm. you so much for joining us today, and we appreciate your call, and we appreciate your, you know, your being here and the wonderful insights that you have provided us. Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you. This is great.
It has been great, and to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And as Fran Ginsberg used to love to remind us that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away and that science is going to prove it one day. So from myself and from Eliza, we bid you good night. Good night, everybody.